Motorcycle Madhouse, you hooligans, we got a special interview today. His name is Preacher, and we're going to be talking about Christian Motorcycle Club today, because I believe they're a very important piece of the biker community, especially the motorcycle club community. And I have to admit, be up front and all that type of stuff, you know, it was great to see him actually in work. You know, my father, he was a part of Bikers for Christ. When he passed away, I wasn't able to get to the funeral because, you know, it was halfway across the country, and it was pretty hard. I had some stuff I had to get taken care of that was personal, but, you know, they followed the tradition. They're the ones who buried him, the whole nine yards. They sent me the videos, the pictures, everything. So, you know, Christian clubs have a big impact on the scene, and they especially did for me. So we're going to go to our guest right now, and we're going to bring on Preacher, and we're going to talk about this for a second. Hey, Preacher, how you doing?
Doing great, Hollywood. Doing great.
Rock and roll, man. Tell everybody what club you're with.
Well, I'm with the Road Dog Motorcycle Club. Mm-hmm. I founded Enrage for Christ Motorcycle Club.
And where's that out of?
We are out of Modesto.
Modesto, you're a West Coaster, man. You know, you guys must be lucky. You get the rider gear round while we're over here freezing in the freaking snow. But was the original group founded out of Modesto, or is that where your club is now?
No, that is originally founded out of Modesto. We got members throughout the whole valley for Enrage for Christ. Mm-hmm. We have some actually spread out now, too.
Now, when you talk valley, you know, for us Chicago guys, what's the valley? Is that like, you know, I hear that on TV, hey, you're from the valley. Is that like all teeny boppers and, you know, mall people, or what's going on here? Tiffany, you know?
No, you know what? There's actually a lot of country and agriculture people out this way. And it's a little different from the Bay Area, so.
Oh, okay. So I'm in the wrong area.
Laid back.
I'm in the wrong area then. Okay. You know, it's all them, how can I say it, left wingers down there then in San Francisco and all that good stuff, LA. But you guys are out of California, and I really love you to tell the story about how you got involved, because you were actually in, I believe it was, a 99% club.
Yeah. Well, I was riding and I was happy with my original club, riding around and I started drinking. And I realized I couldn't lane split and drink, so I made this choice not to drink anymore because it was unhealthy for me. And my club brothers at the time, they started ragging on me kind of hard for it. You know, they're all, hey, come on, why can't you just have one drink? Well, with me, one turned into like 10, so I couldn't do it.
Well, you know, and what? Let me interrupt you there for a second. You said, you know, they were kind of trying to push you and all that type of stuff. Now, you know, to me, brothers would be looking out for you and stuff, and I'm not insinuating anything like that because, you know, in 97, and I know what you're talking about, me and Jack Daniel had a fight that ended up with me puking all over the place for 3 days straight, and I haven't drank since, but I know when I went to the one club I was in, hey, they understood. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think they wanted to see if I was serious about it. So I finally looked at them and I said, I don't know, maybe later, kind of give a compromise, you know?
Right.
And I turned around, I'm sitting there in a bar, it's on a poker run. I turned around and there's this guy in a Christian club and he comes up to me and says, how are you doing, brother? And I looked at him and said, man, you know what? I could really use some prayer. I'm kind of struggling here. I'm trying not to drink. I'm doing this. I'm carrying this Bible now. I'm trying to be a chaplain, you know? And he looked at me and he stopped, did not judge me or nothing, you know, in the middle of a bar on a run and started praying with me. And then I walk outside and ran into another one of his club brothers and told him the same thing. And he gave me a necklace, a cross necklace, and he put it around my neck and he said, pass it on when the time's ready. And we started going down the road on the poker run. Mm-hmm. And it's like I could feel God telling me, you need to put a cross on your back.
Right.
And
right.
So from that moment on, I was like, okay, I'm not quite sure what that means. A couple weeks later, I figured it out, and I walked into my club and let them know I wanted to leave the club to start a Christian club, and that's mm-hmm. what I did from that point on.
Right, right. Now, a lot of people, you know, they might get uncomfortable with a conversation like that, but, you know, it's me. I don't care. You know, because I really believe in, you know, I know people are other than Christians and stuff, but the most that I see is within the Christian clubs, and I'm a huge believer in the old man upstairs. I don't care what anybody says, man. You follow the dude upstairs because, you know, when you take that dirt nap, it's him that you're going to be seeing and not your buddies. That's just my opinion. I've held a card for the CMA since I think 94. So, you know, with the Christian motorcycle clubs, tell me how you got started. Do you do the same protocol as regular clubs? Do you go to events with one percenters, stuff like that?
Actually, yes. You know, we had to go to Dominant and get an approval. They wanted to make sure we really were who we said we were and not pretending to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then we got together with a whole bunch of the other Christian clubs at the same time because I found a lot of them that were kind of nervous about going out. My club we founded, we do go out with the one percenters and with all the other clubs. It don't matter what kind of club you are. We'll go out and help you out or support you and, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we turned around and did that. I pulled the Christian clubs together.
Into a COC type of deal? Are you guys part of COC?
Enrage for Christ is part of COC, yes. Mm-hmm. But not all the Christian clubs are. And so we pulled some of them together just to unite and start reaching out to the community together. Right. And what we do is we go out and... put out community park outreaches, help the homeless, give them clothes and Bibles and deodorant. And we put on events together. Like every year at Hollister, we put on a worship service and go out ride together. Mm-hmm. And we do that up in Reno also at Street Vibes.
Right. So, well, you know what? You're totally correct about the COC because when I was down in Florida getting an Entertainer of the Year award from NCOM, you know, I had a personal issue that came up. And then, you know, if you guys have seen the video or the shows, you'll know what it is. But I had to get back to Chicago right away. And, you know, being informed that the Christian motorcycle clubs were out there praying for me and stuff like that, that really got, you know, that's some awesome stuff right there. But the Christian motorcycle clubs, I know a lot of them are part of the COC. So that's just showing you the respect that a lot of the other clubs have for it. And I think a lot of them minister to a lot of these clubs.
Oh, yeah. You know, I get called on. I'm a senior pastor of a church. It's in Modesto. And I get called up by some of the clubs to go do weddings, funerals, you know. Mm-hmm. I have people call me for counseling, you know, different stuff. And we're here completely to help them and support them, you know.
Well, you know what? That's awesome stuff. You know what and I know there's some out there, but I really wish that there was churches that were ran by these Christian motorcycle clubs. You know what I mean? Instead of the clubhouse, you got the church, you know, because, you know, going to church. Now, here I am. I'm tattooed up. I got them on my face, you know, got a lot of gang shit on me. And when you walk in, and this is where people say Christians are hypocritical because they'll, you know, I walk in, they'll give you the dirty looks and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? I'd really wish there was a biker church around me because I'd be going there.
We actually have them. The church I preach at, I'm the senior pastor, I preach in my cut. And I invite and am open to anybody coming down. There's another church out of Merced also that is a complete Christian biker church, and that's what they're founded on.
Well, there's this one group. You know what? I forgot. I should have wrote it down. I think it's the Christian Ministry. Mike, one of our listeners, asked her – actually introduced me to the group, and there's this one pastor on there, man. He stands behind the bar, the motorcycle handlebars and stuff. Cool guy with the kids running around. He has them up there, and that is a church to me right there, man. Not the ones with the pretty suits on or got their nose in the air at you. That was a real church right there. So, you know, yeah, I wish there was more of those around, because it's not hypocrites, you know what I mean? And I see where people, you know, sometimes get the idea that Christians are hypocrites and stuff, because when you do walk into some of these high-end churches, they just put their nose up to you, and it's like, really, do you believe what, you know, what's in the good book there, man? Because you're, like, totally twisting it here. Are you an actor?
I know the feeling, you know. That was my my concern when I walked onto the Christian motorcycle scene, was I was afraid I was going to get judged and put down. I was kind of hesitant, you know. But I try to share with everybody, you know, God's command is for us to love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we got to stop and realize that person that may not believe, that may need help, is no different than you are. Right. And for me, that means that the only reason I'm where I am is I found my forgiveness in Christ, and they may not have yet. So right. I can share with them.
Well, it always, you know what? It eventually does, because I always say, there is no damn true atheist, man. There ain't. You know why I say that? Is because when they're looking, you know, they're on that death bed, the first thing that comes out of their mouth after all those years of trying to say they're atheists is, help me God.
Yeah. I've got a few phone calls up from people that were on their deathbed. Hey, can you show me how to find God? You know, and right. It's true.
Well, you
get
know,
on that deathbed and you realize
time's up, man. It's either you're gonna meet that maker, you know, whoever you believe in and stuff. Me personally, I believe in Christ and stuff, but I don't, you know. I ain't going to mention the one, because I do kind of got a bias towards the one religion out of the Middle East, you know, because they're a bunch of whatevers. But it's so true. Now, let's get into a little bit about the club aspect of Christian motorcycle clubs. Now, you said that you went to the Dominance, the whole nine yards. Now, do you have prospect? You have to hang around prospect the traditional way?
We do. We do prospect. We do have hangarounds. You know, it's only right to make sure that the guys that you're putting a patch on understand the meaning of the patch, the history of the club, and how to handle themselves among the club world, you know?
Right.
You don't want some guy with a fresh patch on walking up to somebody with sunglasses and their glove on and trying to shake their hand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a no-no, you
right.
know?
Right. Now, do you accept law enforcement?
No.
Okay. Now, you know, the big thing's going to come, and if you look in the comment sections when I, you know, do this video, you're going to say, well, you know, you're supposedly a Christian clubs, but you won't let police officers in. Why?
I believe in respecting the people that we are out there with, the people that we're out there to minister with. And if we are hanging out with the other clubs and we want to be able to minister to these guys and have them open up to us, we got to make sure that we can be trusted according to them.
Right.
You know?
Now, and you know, and so, I already can see it. Somebody's going to come back and say, well, you're supposedly going out there trying to preach the word of Christ, but, you know, you're excluding people that are just working a job or, you know, that might be interested in Christ. What do you say to them people?
Well, I do believe that there are law enforcement clubs out there that will gladly take a Christian law enforcement person, and they can do their ministry there, you know?
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, no, that would pretty much be it. And then sometimes when I run into these guys and they don't like the way I'm doing it, I'll just look at them and say, hey, look, if you don't like what I'm doing, man, pray for me, mm-hmm. you know? because I run it the way that God's put it for me to go out and do it.
Right. Now, what, you know, for those that, you know, just because this is kind of introducing people, the, you know, Christ and all that type of stuff. What do you say to people who say, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I personally believe everybody's got a different direction, a different calling in their life. You know, I believe that there's people that I could minister to that that someone else might not be able to minister to. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there's people that these other people could minister to that would never listen to me.
Right.
And so I believe there are different types of ministers for different types of people that need ministering to. I can't reach everybody.
Right.
Nobody can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm not against another minister going out and trying to reach people on that other side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not for me.
Right. Well, I just wanted to clear it up because, you know, you're going to have somebody come back and say, hey, Hollywood, you're throwing softball. Yeah, everybody knows I don't throw softballs. But does your, because I know with CMA, again, I held a card. I'm not real big into the actual events and stuff, but I support their cause 120%. I love the different, types of ministries they have, especially, and this is a big one for me, is the prison one. They go in, they talk to down brothers and sisters in the joint. Now, is that something you guys ever got into?
As a matter of fact, one of my close friends is involved with that, and we're supposed to ride this next fall into Folsom Prison.
Folsom,
and
baby,
to the guys down there. Yeah,
your Folsom is like our state bill in Illinois. But go ahead.
So yeah. You know, that's something that we're totally into. We're into, I truly believe that, you know, helping anybody that really needs it, the homeless, the kids, you know, that's what we do. And as the Christian clubs, I've seen that come to life. We do fundraisers for the foster kids every year, homeless shelters. We go preach at the gospel missions and do a lot to help the community. And a lot of these guys will look at us when we first come in like, man, you guys are a bunch of bikers. What's wrong with you guys? What are you doing here? And then by the time we're done with them, they're all cool. You know, you guys showed us a lot of good stuff and a lot of love.
Now, what would you say to people that it's going to throw out that question? Well, why do you even bother going in the prison system? They're nothing but low-life animals. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. They're subhuman.
Well, you know, I believe that Christ died for everybody, and I believe that forgiveness is there for them the same as it is for us. And if somebody isn't there to tell them that, then they can miss out. And personally, I believe the only difference between somebody in prison and somebody not in prison is I could have took that same path, you know? I could have ended up there so easily.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're people that they might have made a mistake, and you know, I don't believe everybody in there is guilty, but yeah, they might have made a mistake and they ended up there.
Right.
It could happen to anyone.
Right, exactly. Now, how do you approach what you do? Say you're at a rally, because I know CMA is real big into it. They'll do security. They'll do a lot of handing out waters at the rallies. But how do you approach people to try to get your message out?
You know, we used to drag out a band. We'd have a Christian rock band, and we'd go to these rallies like Hollister. We set up every year, Hollister.
Oh, you mentioned rock band. You mentioned rock band. You know the '80s Striper, man.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, we'd have them come out and start playing, and we'd put on a little bit of a concert, and then every couple songs, the music would stop, and we'll have a guest speaker, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then eventually, at the end, I'll come up and preach, or one of my friends, and then we'll go out, just hang out with everybody in the rallies, and try to answer any questions if people have it. If they need prayer, we're there for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question I have is, how do you handle those people that inflate real Christianity to somebody, say, like Joel Osteen, or a lot of these prosperity preachers that, or these guys that go out there and claim they can heal, and that's something that might turn somebody off.
You know, I try to explain to them that personally, you know, you get these prosperity preachers and all that, and I try to explain to people myself the way I look at it is if God's going to do something great, he's not going to do it all through one person. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it through different people here and there. I mean, I know God can still do miracles. I've lived it. But I don't believe he's going to be doing it through this one preacher. I personally believe that if they're going around bringing glory to themselves, then and trying to sell you a book to understand the Bible, then there's something wrong. And I try to warn people about that.
Right, right. Many false prophets. That's what I always say. And then the other one that really I think personally gets to me is there was a section in the good book that talks about how you have to be beyond reproach. And I think you know what I'm talking about with that when it comes to being a pastor or preacher or, you know, a priest. What do you think on that?
I'm actually trying to wrap around the question real quick.
Okay, basically, basically, when I talk about beyond reproach, I'm talking about some of these prosperity preachers. A lot of the churches have gone against canon, if you will. It seems like Christian churches are trying to bend to what modern times think is what's right and wrong compared to what it really says.
I got you. So yeah, you know, the Bible says in the end times there's going to be a lot of false teachers rising up, and there's going to be a lot of people that are misled because of it. Matter of fact, the Bible goes as far to say that if the time's not cut short, even the elite would be misled. I do believe that there is a false message out there, and it's brewing strong, and it's trying to tell people that they have to do stuff to make it to heaven. But the truth is, Christ paid for everything, and all you got to do is believe. Your forgiveness is paid for. Mm-hmm. You know, it don't take a bunch of money and a bunch of acts. I do believe that if you're a believer, it's going to show in your life. But yeah, there's plenty of false teachers.